Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back, 17-2. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with us. That's Mark Knopfler in the amazing Rhythm Aces bringing this back. No, Dire Straits. That's Mark Knopfler and Dire Straits. Right guy, wrong band. Welcome back. I'm Jim Blasingame. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and the one for my book, The Age of the Customer, is ageofthecustomer.com. Joe Barker is our guest, our good friend, one of the great futurists of our time, noted filmmaker, author of a number of books, including my favorite, Paradigms, The Business of Discovering the Future. Joe, we're talking about some things that are coming at us in the future. You've always brought us great stories on materials, steel and metals and graphene and stuff like that. Talk to us about.
Well, we got a couple of things to talk about. They're easy to talk about, but really interesting. Number one is that UCLA has developed a new light structural material using magnesium, which turns out to be the seventh most abundant material on the planet. I never knew that. It's that milk of magnesia, you know. It's a metal. And it's magnesium. It turns out that it's very strong, but they have figured out a way to embed nanoparticles. Now, notice our word, nano. Here's the nano stuff showing up again.
I love nanotechnology.
And they've this silicon carbide nano particles that disperse evenly throughout the molten metal, and the end result is a much stronger material, much lighter material, at basically no added cost. It's just a matter of making it.
And this is being added to steel, an alloy that's like a steel-like alloy.
It's actually stronger than steel.
But I mean, what are the
magnesium and silicon carbide?
Just those two. So it's an alternative to steel or structural.
And one of the things I looked up was, you know, how common is magnesium? They said it's all over, but it turns out it's especially common in seawater. 3 billion pounds of magnesium per cubic mile.
Wow.
So you can mine the oceans for this metal. Everybody in the world has access to magnesium because of
this,
that.
This is not rare earth, this is plentiful earth, right?
Exactly. So this could be a big replacement. If we were going to do a big building project, all of a sudden magnesium stands out as perhaps the choice material.
Are there any downsides to it? Is it susceptible to heat or water or cold or anything like that?
I think if you chew on it, you might get antacid properties. But other than that, I was kind of looking at magnesium.
Because I was thinking of silicon carbide. When I think about that, I think maybe heat might be a problem for it or something.
It's actually it handles heat really, really well.
Wow.
So magnesium's ability to handle heat, the strength went up. Mm-hmm. The plasticity, the flexibility of the metal also went up when this was done. There were big surprises in this. And the other thing, by the way, is the process itself can be applied to other metals. So they've only done it with magnesium. So it's a scalable
process. God, there's so much we're learning. This part of the future is exciting. All right, there's another one that's one of our favorite products, right? Graphene.
We can't do a thing without doing graphene.
I know, it's exciting.
And the thing that's neat about this is practical. We went from theory, you know, seven, 8 years ago. Now we're talking about practical application.
Mm-hmm.
Thin layers of graphene put on the leading edges of airplanes. Actually, you put it underneath.
Now, graphene is cellular thick, isn't it?
It's atomic thick.
Atomic thick, right.
It's very thin material.
But layer upon layer upon layer upon layer, it's got all these great properties. So,
exactly. Every time you change it. And so they're going to put leading edge behind the metal, but right next to the metal, this graphene composite. You put a little bit of electricity into it. It heats up the leading edge of the rotor blade on the helicopter, on the wind generator, on the airplane.
The wing of the airplane. So it's not on the leading edge, it's behind the leading edge.
Yes, because it would get chewed up by the
bounds,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting about it, it takes almost nothing to heat it to 200 degrees Fahrenheit.
Wow.
Which means you get a liquid surface immediately, and then the ice falls off because it can't
grab
onto the metal.
Right.
So this is going to change wind generation in terms of where you can safely use it. It can change airplanes.
It can change airplanes. And what I'm thinking of is when you think about so many of the smaller airplanes, most propeller airplanes who have or need any de-icing, they have it on the propellers, they have it on the wings, on the leading edge surfaces. They either get it off by breaking it, or they have alcohol. Like a lot of the yeah. propellers will have alcohol that sprays out on the wing on the leading edge to get it off. This could go down there, and with this heating pressure you're talking about, that could be not only would be more effective and safer, but it would be lighter. I mean, if you see a Beechcraft Baron out there with a big black leading edge of the wing, that's a piece of rubber.
Yeah, so it would definitely lighten it up, but it's also solid state, no moving parts.
Yeah, yeah. So this could really change, and it could go down market it could make a lot more smaller airplanes
safer,
to be able to fly into known icing.
Exactly, much safer.
Yeah.
So this is the thing. By the way, the upper temperature has actually gone up to 600 degrees.
Wow.
So
all you got to do is get the ice to 32.1 degrees,
yep.
and it'll melt off. I mean, that's what's amazing. If you've ever been in an airplane where there's icing, and you try to go up to a warmer level, I mean, I'm talking about the second it gets to 32.1, the ice comes away. It goes away. Yeah, it's amazing how that works. Hey,
but
Joel,
I want to make one quick point.
Right.
I just listened to these names: Tanvi Barahari, Tuo Wong, Jian Lin, Boston Genorio. Those are all people in America at our universities. This is
right.
why diversity is so important.
That's right.
These guys put this together.
And technology transfer, right?
That's what
we're doing with this. JoelBarker.com, folks. Check it out. You'll thank me later. Tintail, stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.